Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
So the theme of this service, at least as far as I have had something to do with it, is about the abundance in life and about Christ's invitation to live life abundantly. And I thought this theme, this message, this simple invitation was particularly important and appropriate as most of us are now sitting together inside the church, next to each other in pews, and most of you without masks. We're emerging from a dark and dangerous time, and it really is time on this beautiful day to be reminded about the abundance of God's creation around us. So I have picked certain scriptural references in the sermon to really make that one simple point. So I selected two passages from the Christian New Testament. The principal scripture that I'll be referring to throughout is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Here's the key phrase. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." I'll be speaking more about that. Have life and have it abundantly. And then Paul wrote to in his letter to the Hebrews, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may his work in us be pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever." And then going to the Hebrew scriptures, I had to include the hymn that all of you know, which really says this as well. This is the 23rd Psalm that all of you know by heart. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And the page is stuck. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In that theme of the shepherd, both in the Hebrew text and in the Christian text, the shepherd leading us, inviting us into a life of abundance. And then I even picked a passage from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the grumpiest person anywhere in the... they even have a name called a Jeremiad because most of his scripture is he's shouting and yelling at different people. But there's this one sentence tucked in there. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you hope." That's about as good as it gets from Jeremiah, but it's that same theme that I'm presenting. And then, of course, from Isaiah, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do never fail. The theme throughout the Bible, I mean, there's many other passages, but I just picked those to make this one simple point, is that our God, the God that Christians worship, the God is worshiped by essentially all other faiths, invites each and every one of us to the wonders and the fullness of life, that we may live it abundantly. Abundantly. So, what does abundantly mean? So, now you're going to get the lawyer part of this. I'm going to tell you what it does not mean, because, unfortunately, there is some confusion about this. I am not preaching here, nor will I ever, that this is what is now called the prosperity gospel. And maybe some of you have heard this, and some of you may be mature enough to remember a fellow named Oral Roberts, who back in the day had a TV crusade about the abundance of life. And he went around and he had a genuine sense of pretty much what I'm trying to tell you. Unfortunately, that abundance crusade has been hijacked by a group of televangelists and others who have converted it into the prosperity gospel, which means that what God means when he says live an abundant life is get rich, load up with bling, get your mansions and your airplanes, lead a life dedicated to material success and to the success as it's defined by the culture that we live in. And these televangelists do extremely well showing their houses and planes on TV, and people pour money into them, and people then define the scope of their spirituality by the extent to which their material possessions reflect that level of abundance. But when I hear that pastoral malpractice going on, I tell you, I cringe. That is about as far away from the message of the Christ that we worship as you can get. You all probably remember the quote from Jesus in which he says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So if you've read the Beatitudes, if you've read your New Testament, if you have attended any of Malcolm's wonderful sermons, you know that this is as far away from the prosperity gospel as you can get. But there's another trap. On the opposite pole, there are many who have been taught and believe that you cannot enjoy the abundance of life unless you are dead and have been predestined into a rosy heaven where everything will reflect all of your desires. Or if you have developed a form of mysticism through the result of extensive spiritual practices and disciplines, where you can mentally and emotionally and spiritually remove yourself from your surroundings and enjoy a spiritual experience that opens up the gates of the abundance of life. And sometimes I've read that a liberal dose of psychedelics will help on that process as well. But that's not what Christ was talking about. That's not what our faith is about. You sell yourselves way too short if you believe that you can find the abundance of life through material possessions or superficial success, or by devoting your life to asceticism, spirituality, and a removal from what is all around us. What I believe Jesus is saying there, and what is really the mainstream of our faith, is that the abundance of life is all around us in the here and the now, in the immediate, the transparent. It is in the faces of the people sitting next to you. It is in all of the wonders of nature, the acts of artistry, the spiritual gifts of faith, hope, and love provide you with a sense of awe. They entitle you to have a sense of awe. And with that awe, you can see the things around you. We call it the triumphant normality of your lives around you, that you can be awed by that and enjoy the abundance of life that is available to you. A wise man, I think it was Chesterton, once said that the world will never starve for want of wonders. It will starve for the want of wonder. And poets have always expressed this. What happens, particularly when we become digitized and live in an artificial monitor existence, we lose our sense of wonder. We lose our sense of awe. We lose our sense of being able to recognize the abundance of life all around us. So, to show you what I mean, I'm going to give you three examples that occurred to me the day after Sal called me and asked me to preach here. And I was thinking about what kind of examples could I give for that point. And three things happened within one 24-hour day, and I'm just going to briefly share them with you. First, I took the day off from work. I took the train to New York because New York is starting to reawaken, and I wanted to see the reawakening. My wife thought I was crazy. It wasn't safe. She stayed home. I took the train down, took a cab to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It was opening up again. I went to the medieval display, where there is 1,200 years of absolutely magnificent art. And I spent 4 hours with a sense of awe. I saw what's called the 9 silver plates of David, over 1,000 years old, with magnificent inscriptions on the life of David, carved in silver and ivory. An altar cross with hundreds of inscriptions of the life of the Bible. And a plaque, again, 1,200 years old, with the story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus that was carved in minute detail in ivory, gilded. I mean, there were hundreds of exhibits. I was exhausted by the time I was finished. But I give you those examples. Those were people over 1,000 years ago who awakened to the story of Christianity, who were creative geniuses and provided an example of the abundance of life, the fullness of life, the beauty and the creativity of life that's been enjoyed by thousands of people over those thousands of years. And it's a train trip away, and many of you have probably done that. It's exotic. It's at the high end of creativity, but it's an example of the abundance of life that is available to all of us. Example number two. I got the train back, turned on Netflix with my dear wife. There are only a few shows that we can watch together, and we found Nomadville. How many of you have watched Nomadville? All right. It is a wonderful, wonderful film. It cleaned up at the Oscars, and rightly so. It's beautifully directed and acted, and the story is poignant and compelling. But the point of that story is that a single, somewhat tortured woman who loses her home and her job and lives in a trailer and is houseless travels around and finds the abundance of life everywhere she goes, with relationships with other people, the kindness of people, the beauty of nature, just the serenity of her existence. When you just hear the story of some lady driving around in a van all day, I didn't want to watch it. But it's wonderful. And it makes this point that if you have a sense of awe, if you can open your eyes and look around at the people and the relationships and the works of God around you, you will be living abundantly. The third and final example, because I think this will tie in. I'm an avid gardener. I did not read the announcements today because I was told they're all printed in the bulletin and you can read them yourself, and I don't need to take your time reading them out to you. But there was something in there about a pizza garden which had my full attention. What a great congregation is this? You've got community gardens. I don't know if you're growing pizzas out there, what you're doing, but you obviously have some appreciation for gardens. And my third example is I have beautiful gardens. I've worked for 40 years on these gardens every year. And every morning and every night, I walk around in a state of almost stupor at the beauty of these gardens, particularly in May, as we look at that dark, cold ground, and by themselves, without me doing anything, these magnificent flowers and plants and bushes start coming up and smiling at me and are being beautiful. Just one walk around those gardens is the enjoyment of life abundantly. And it's right there for all of you who are gardeners or who know somebody who's a gardener. It doesn't involve money or spiritual disciplines. It is right there if we can develop that sense of awe to appreciate what God has provided to us. Now, if I had a couple more hours, I'd get into my grandchildren, about some of my friends. It's all over the place, but I know you have limited patience. So I'm going to limit it to those three examples, because I think you're getting the point that we have an opportunity everywhere to respond to Christ's invitation, to respond to the imprecations of God throughout the Bible, that everything that we could want to have our cup overfloweth, to have well-watered springs of life, to enjoy life and to enjoy it abundantly, is there. And we have been given the spiritual gifts. Whether we take them or not is up to us, but we have been given those spiritual gifts of faith, of hope, and of love, which combined give us that sense of awe where we can appreciate the beauty of the abundance around us. So, as we all know, coming out of this pandemic, the world can be a dark and threatening place. Many of our friends, family members, and others have suffered terribly through this pandemic and the economic and other complications. But even in the deepest, darkest aspects of winter and fear, we all know that spring is coming, that the masks may come off, that the abundance of life will be available to us, that all those shadows flickering across our daily life, again, are mere proof that there is light and light is coming. So I have just this one simple message. There are beams of love coming from our God that created us and this world. And our God has invited us to bear up under those beams of love and to enjoy life that is given to us and to enjoy it abundantly. So I hope all of you will have a week full of wonders, a wonderful, awesome week. Amen. Thank you.